Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we listen to this story of our Lord and Savior Jesus and that Canaanite woman, our initial reaction may be one of shock. Am I hearing this correctly? Am I reading that right? We may ask ourselves. Is this the gentle and compassionate Jesus that I know? Jesus, in this story, seems to fall somewhat below the kind, loving, and merciful Savior whom we love and adore. Certainly, he does heal the woman's child. That is to be expected from the great physician whose miraculous healings chart a clear trail of his love and mercy throughout the Gospels. But what we do not expect is that Jesus has to be cajoled into doing it. Indeed, he does grant her request, but what may be surprising to us is that he appears to be asserting the superiority of his own race with a seemingly derogatory reference to the woman and her race as dogs. Yes, it seems inconceivable to us that the same Jesus who gathered the little children into his arms would at first refuse to help a sick and suffering little girl. It seems inconceivable to us that Jesus, who told the story of the Good Samaritan, would adopt an attitude of apparently national prejudice, that he who directed his disciples to go into all the world and preach the good news of salvation to all creation would have ever considered the blessing of the gospel as for Jews alone. But if we examine this incident more carefully, these questions are soon resolved for us. As Jesus looked on this Canaanite woman, he did not see her as an unwelcome intruder on his time and energy as his disciples did. Rather, he saw her as a woman of great personal faith, and his conversation with her was designed to test that faith and to put her faith on display as an encouragement for his disciples and for others who were there and witnessed that event. Instead of leaving us in doubt about Jesus' words and actions, this text can lead us to a better understanding of the nature of a persistent faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. This scriptural truth is certainly an accurate one. However, the opposite is also true, that every time we make the difficult venture of faith, we bring joy to God's heart. Recall the many accounts of God's people in the Bible who acted in faith in him. Young David confronting the mighty veteran warrior Goliath. He said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine also." Remember the great faith of Abraham, who, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Picture for a moment the face of our Lord as he listened to that Roman army officer, pleading for his sick servant. That man said, "I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed." Surely Jesus marveled at that man's faith. But how often do we grieve the Holy Spirit by our fear and distrust? How often do we simply give up on God? How often do we approach a problem as being too crucial to just simply turn it over to God in prayer and trust Him. What a change it would be for us if we could make God glad by the daring of our faith. We can almost envision the twinkle in our Lord's eye as this encounter with the Canaanite woman took place. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, Jesus said. The word that Jesus used here for dog is not as harsh as it sounds to us in English. In Palestine, the area where Jesus and his disciples lived at that time, many dogs were street-wandering scavengers. But here, Jesus uses a different term, a term for a dog that would have been a cared-for and loved family pet. And so there is no harm that was intended by Jesus' remark, but rather we can imagine him saying it with a smile. And the woman replies, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs also eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Her response is quick. It exhibits a spirit, a faith that had no time, that had no doubt, also given Jesus great joy as she demonstrated it. Jesus is pleased by such demonstrations of faith. Jesus had no time for individuals who were merely hoping for the best but did not really believe that God would grant it. People who, like many people today, find it difficult to place their complete trust and total confidence in God's good grace. Throughout this entire encounter that's described for us in our text, the woman's faith in the ability of Jesus to cure her daughter is the dominating factor of the narrative. Indeed, her faith was subjected to an ordeal of endurance which was almost superhuman. There was at first the rude impatience of the disciples who regarded her as little more than a pest and certainly as a nuisance to them. There was the seeming indifference at first of him whom she had regarded as her last hope for her suffering daughter. Yet still her faith persisted. And it was that persistence which paid off. She believed that Christ's power was great enough to surmount three normally insurmountable barriers. First, there was the barrier of race. Jews at that time drew a sharp distinction between themselves and non-Jewish people, or Gentiles, as they called them, in part because that is what God had told them to do in the Old Testament, in order to keep them from being led into the worship of false gods that was common among the non-Jewish people of that time. But also in part because they had eventually developed a sinful racial superiority complex, thinking that they were the only people on earth whom God truly loved. Yet here was a Canaanite woman, a non-Jewish woman, who had no doubts about the ability of a Jewish man to overcome this racial division that was so common and so deeply rooted at that time. In our own age, such walls still exist between people. Sharp lines are often drawn in our society between black, white, Latino, and Asian, between rich and poor, between urban, suburban, and rural dwellers. But there is no reason to doubt that our Lord's continued power to surmount such barriers and to work his forgiveness among the selfish, the hostile, and the proud on both sides of the line is still active among us today. Further, the woman believed that the power of Jesus was great enough to overcome the barrier of geographic distance. We can assume from what we read here in Matthew's account of this event that the woman had left her sick daughter at home. And when she returned home, she found that Jesus had healed her daughter at that very hour. What about that kind of barrier today? Do we have faith that God hears and answers our prayers to help others in far distant lands at this very hour? Do we have faith that God will use and multiply the witness of this church to such an extent that it will contribute to the worldwide mission of sharing the good news of salvation through Jesus? Finally, the woman had faith in Jesus' ability to overcome disease and demon possession. The curing of sickness was, she realized, beyond the scope of her abilities or the ability of any human healer. And so she said, "Lord, help me." There, in its simplest, starkest form, is the expression of a persistent faith. "Lord, help me," is still the simplest prayer that there is, the simplest acknowledgement of faith in the power of Christ over all the forces of disease and of sin and of death. That is still the prayer that never goes unanswered. Some of you may have read the Robert Louis Stevenson book, Kidnapped, in which the main character, David Balfour, was marooned on an uninhabited island. Days passed as he waited, shivering and wet and cold, waiting for rescue. The last straw seemed to be when he saw a small boat approaching, only to see the sailors of the boat mocking him, mocking his appeals for help, and then sailing away. And then, after his heart sank to its lowest depths, he discovered that at low tide there was a passage that opened up over to the mainland for safety. If you read that book and got wrapped up in the story, you probably rejoiced with that main character at that positive turn of events. Countless people have also had that experience of rejoicing, but on a much higher level, as they've been stretched to their last limit of human endurance, but through faith in their Savior God, they have conquered and overcome by God's power. Only after Jesus saw that kind of faith in the Canaanite woman did he finally say, "Woman, your faith is great. It will be done for you just as you desire." The persistence of the Canaanite woman on behalf of her daughter also exhibits a great confidence in God's generosity. All that the woman asked for was mere crumbs from the master's table. But yet she knows that Jesus is in control of all the richness of God's bountiful mercy and goodness. Each Christian also serves as an instrument of God's mercy as we help and minister to each other's needs. The power of God's goodness can never be exhausted, can never be used up, because it has its foundation not in our good intentions or in our own human resources. Rather, it has its foundation in Jesus Christ. It is a power which goes beyond us, a power which only persistent faith can tap into. The words of our Lord to this woman were not words of displeasure or words of arrogance, as it might initially appear to us on first reading. Rather, they were words which brought to the surface a tenacious and persistent faith in God and his love. And so may we also, along with that Canaanite woman, have that same persistent, strong faith in our gracious Savior God. Amen.